The Bible reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. For those of you who want to follow on in your black Bibles, it's on page 1012, or you can find it on the inside of this morning's handout. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and we call the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Hi, everyone. My name is Amy. For those of you who don't know me, I work at St. Paul's in the youth and young adults ministries. And I am here at 10 a.m. on a Sunday, but normally I'm out over there with the year 6 to 8 students having fun and opening the word. And I'm excited because today I get to do that in here with you guys. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have not left us in the dark about who you are and how much you love us. But you have given us your word, and we pray that today it would be so clear to us that this passage today would increase our faith in you over Christmas. Amen. Do you remember what Christmas was like when you were a child? Think back. Do you remember that sense of wonder at Christmas time? It was so magical, wasn't it? When I was a kid, when I was a child, I used to write a letter to Santa every year with my Christmas wish list. I put it in an envelope, I'd stamp it, it'd go in the mailbox. And it was so awesome on Christmas morning when I ripped off the wrapping paper and Santa had come through with the goods. I would put out a glass of milk and a plate of cookies on the coffee table. And when I woke up in the morning and I found that the glass was empty and there was just some crumbs left behind, I thought that was amazing. And I even would go out onto the driveway on Christmas Eve and leave some carrots. And when I went out there the next morning and I could see that the reindeers had nibbled on the carrots, oh, wow. It was wondrous. Well, one year I decided I wanted to see all these Christmas miracles with my very own eyes. And so Christmas Eve came. It was the middle of the night and I snuck out of my bedroom into the living room. We had this floor that was like cork and you could hear every footprint. So I made sure I wore thick socks and like skated along the floor to the living room. I hid behind the big armchair and I waited. It was really boring. I nodded off a few times. I sort of held my eyelids open. I think I got that from Mr. Bean. And then something happened. My mum came in. And she drank some of the milk.
and she ate a cookie. And I was outraged. I thought, that's not for her. How rude. Oh, parents. For many people, when you grow up, that sense of wonder at Christmas just evaporates into the air and you realize, you know what I'm saying? How can it be? It seems impossible. The magic is gone. You see the Christmas miracles in a new light. It's like Hollywood, isn't it? Smokes and mirrors. Christmas becomes a hassle, and you start to feel like maybe you'd be better off without it. I mean, all those Christmas card slogans, they're phony. It doesn't feel much like peace on earth when your to-do list is a mile long and the kids are off holiday on holidays for way too many weeks. Goodwill to all men, well, that flies out the window as soon as you enter the Castle Towers car park. And then it's like every man for himself. And whereas you used to be the one receiving all the presents, suddenly you're the one buying all the presents. How is that fair? The Christmas cheer melts away, doesn't it, when the credit card bill comes? And even on Christmas Day, it can be hard to feel jolly when you get stuck next to the loony relative at the lunch table. We all have one. Mum, if you're listening, it's not you. Thank goodness it only comes around once a year. Well, for many people, and perhaps even some people in the building this morning, what God says about Christmas just adds to all of that. Angelic visitations. A pregnant virgin and a homeless baby who is apparently the Son of God. How can it be? It seems impossible. These Christmas miracles are just more of the same, aren't they? Smoke and mirrors. I mean, a lot of our nativity pieces, they're actually phony too. You know, the Bible never says that Mary travelled to Bethlehem on a donkey. It could have been a motorbike, for all we know. And where did that innkeeper come from? Where did that stable that he so graciously made available come from? Where were the cattle lowing? The Bible doesn't say. The only thing the Bible mentions is a feeding trough. There wasn't a little drummer boy, which isn't a bad thing. Who wants a kid hanging around banging on a drum when you've just given birth? You can understand why people raise their eyebrows at Christmas. At Christmas time, there is religious music playing in the supermarket and there are celebrities, Home and Away stars, singing glory to the King in the Domain. But no one actually believes it. So why? Why on earth should you? Well, despite all of that, I know that there are some people in the room today who have actually retained a sense of wonder at Christmas. But it's got nothing to do with the tinsel and bright lights. It's because you do believe what God says about Christmas, as recorded in the Bible. You know he did those Christmas miracles 2,000 years ago. And you love celebrating the birth of Jesus most of all. Perhaps, though, this Christmas, there are other things that God says about which you were just quietly thinking to yourself. How can it be? Perhaps there are other miracles, other things you are desperately wishing he would do in your life. But you can't help feeling that's impossible. What should you do when you're faced with something from God that seems impossible, like Christmas? And why should you trust God for what seems impossible in your life this Christmas? Two reasons from the Bible this morning. Here's the first reason. God is a promise keeper. God is a promise keeper. In our Bible passage tonight, the angel Gabriel turns up in Nazareth. It's a small rural village, and he visits Mary, a virgin who's engaged to be married. And he says to her, "Congratulations, it's a boy." This is not the typical birth announcement that you might receive in the delivery room from the midwife when the baby's just popped out. This is not the sort of thing you post on Facebook or read on Twitter. Baby boy born, 4:23 a.m., 3.5 kilos, 51 centimetres long. This is out of the ordinary. This birth announcement is made before the baby is born, before he's even expected at all, before his conception has even been attempted. And there is no talk of the baby's measurements. The angel Gabriel goes on to talk about his kingdom. Well, already in this sermon series, we have seen how hundreds of years before this moment, hundreds of years before the angel Gabriel turned up and talked to Mary, this baby was promised. God was going to send a saviour king into the world, someone who would save people from their sins and who would reign on a throne over God's people forever. It's like the Old Testament prophets had 3D ultrasonic images of him well before anyone could actually see him. Check out some of the snapshots from the Old Testament. From the book of Isaiah, it says, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom forever." And from the book of Jeremiah, "In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness." Now, if you compare those things written hundreds of years before this moment and the snapshot that angel Gabriel gives to Mary, it becomes obvious this baby is one in the same. This is what he says to Mary. "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David," sound familiar? "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." The angel Gabriel commands Mary to call him Jesus. And Matthew's gospel tells us exactly why. Jesus means the Lord saves. And he would indeed grow up and save people from their sins. But not only is he a saviour, the angel says he is a king. He is the descendant of David you've been waiting for. He will sit on an eternal throne and reign over God's people forever. The angel Gabriel, with this very out of the ordinary birth announcement, is heralding the arrival of this long-awaited Saviour King. God is finally fulfilling his old promises. Continue on in the Gospel of Luke, and you'll read about the birth, the life, and the death of Jesus. Now, the death of the Saviour King, that came as a bit of a shock to the disciples, but eventually they came to understand this was not God breaking his promise. This was actually God keeping his promise. Through his death, the power of sin is destroyed in our lives, and it is possible for us to have a relationship with God again. And death, it did not bring an end to his reign, like all the kings before him. The Bible tells us Jesus rose again. He ascended into heaven, and that's where he reigns right now. but not all of God's promises concerning the Saviour King have been fulfilled yet. The Bible also speaks about a day when Jesus will return, his heavenly reign will come to earth, and everyone will acknowledge him. The Bible says that willingly or not, your knee will bow before him. All his enemies will be seen under his feet. So the question is, in the meantime, as we wait, will you trust God to keep his promises? Will you trust God to keep his promises? If you have been discounting what God says about Christmas, if you've been rejecting Jesus, the Bible says that is sin. It is blinding you to the wonder of it all. God wants to reign in your life. And maybe right now, right this moment, you know that he is calling you to submit to Jesus, the Saviour King, so that he can come and live in the throne room of your heart. God has made you a promise. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Will you trust him? Many people in this room have already done that. But this Christmas, perhaps there are other promises from God which you are quietly thinking to yourself, how can it be? Maybe you've been praying for something all year. You've been praying faithfully, but you haven't seen an answer. And maybe the promise that God hears you and that he cares about your anxieties, you're not sure about that one right now. Maybe you've been trying to kick a sinful habit this year, and no matter how hard you try, you just feel like you can't. And God's promise that he won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, that he will provide a way out for you, you're not sure about that one. With all the economic certainty in the world today, maybe it's the promise that he knows what you need and he'll provide for you. So be faithful and generous. Maybe you're not sure about that promise. You might feel lonely at Christmas time. And he's told you that he will never forsake you. He is with you. He will never forsake you. But you are not sure. You can't feel that. And perhaps this year has been full of heartache. More heartache than joy. And his promise that he is working all things for your good, that he has a great purpose in it, you can't see that. And you're not sure about that promise. What will you do in the face of that? Will you trust him? The first reason we should trust God when it seems impossible. He is a promise keeper. Here's the second reason. God is a miracle worker. God is a miracle worker. My husband has this knack for being able to find premium products at a really good price. Recently, he announced to me that he had found a piece of home exercise equipment, a cross trainer, and he could get it from China and it would be comparably very cheap. And I was like, awesome, go for it. When it arrived, we opened the box and we saw hundreds, and I mean hundreds, of cables and metal poles, nuts and bolts, plastic caps and connectors. And I thought, this could be a problem. I have no idea how all those pieces are meant to fit together. So I asked Chris, do you know how this thing actually gets made? Luckily, Chris had the instructions. And I have to say, I was really impressed because this happened, and a few hours later, we actually had a cross trainer, and I don't know how we did it. It must have been a miracle. after the angel Gabriel makes the birth announcement, Mary recognises that there could be a problem. She has absolutely no idea how this baby is going to be made. She's obviously heard the birds and the bees talk. She knows her biology. And so she says to the angel, how can it be? You know, I'm a virgin. Well, luckily the angel Gabriel had instructions and he said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Jesus was conceived in her womb, not by the natural means, but by the supernatural power of God. The same power that created the heavens and the earth, the same power that brought life where there was no life, the same power that made humans from the dust, it would overshadow her womb and make Jesus. And that it happens this way is actually really significant because it means that Jesus is fully human and fully divine. He really is the Son of God. To assure Mary that God is able to do this miraculous thing, the angel Gabriel points to something else he had done recently. He says, look at Elizabeth. Look at Elizabeth over there. She is having a baby and she's really old. And everyone was saying she was barren, but now she's 6 months pregnant. And perhaps this reminded Mary, who would have known her Old Testament history, perhaps it reminded her of how God gave Abraham and Sarah a child, even when they laughed at the idea. And he marked the beginning of the nation of Israel. Perhaps it reminded Mary of how an infertile couple gave birth to the mighty judge Samson, and he eventually delivered Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Perhaps it reminded Mary of how God opened Hannah's womb and her little baby boy grew up to be the prophet Samuel. But her situation, it was a bit different. God was definitely raising the bar, stepping it up. This was going to a whole nother level, right? Never before had a virgin been with child. But then never before had God sent his son into the world. I imagine that the angel Gabriel's very last words to Mary would have been exactly what she needed to hear. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. The same sentiment was expressed to Abraham when Sarah's laughter was still echoing from inside the tent. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything he cannot do? No, nothing is beyond his power. The laws of nature are not chains which God is bound up in. No, they're like threads which he holds in his hand and he can shorten or lengthen them at will. To limit the ability of God, to laugh off a miraculous thing like the virgin birth, to treat it like an embarrassment to Christianity, is to seriously undermine, to seriously underestimate the power of our God. So the question is, will you trust that God is able to do miracles? Will you trust that God is able to do miracles? If you have been discounting what God says about Christmas because it seems so impossible, there's a factor missing in your equation. And the factor is God. You see, the conclusion that miracles are impossible, it's based on an assumption that this natural world we see is all there is. There is no God. But the Bible says there is. He is a miracle worker. He has supernatural power. And you put him into your equation, it's not so hard to believe in miracles anymore. And once again, you discover that sense of wonder at Christmas. Maybe you already know that. And this Christmas, there are miracles you wish God would do. There were things in your life you wish God would do. You can't help feeling that's got to be impossible. Maybe you have been praying for a loved one for as long as you can remember, and they seem as lost as ever. What is God doing? They seem so far away. The idea that they would ever put their trust in Jesus, it seems impossible. Or maybe you wish that God would heal your body or fix a problem in your marriage or solve your employment problems. Maybe you've even given up praying for whatever it is. Maybe you've already put whatever it is in the too hard basket on God's behalf. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Will you trust him? Will you trust him with it? The second reason why we should trust God for what seems impossible is that he is a miracle worker. This is actually the wonder of Christmas, that nothing is impossible with God. It's the wonder of Christmas. Angelic visitations, yes. A pregnant virgin, yes. And a homeless baby who is the Son of God, yep. How can it be? We have a God who keeps his promises and who is able to do miracles. So will you trust him to do what seems impossible in your life?